Les colloques du Collège de France.
Thanks a lot, Jean-Jacques. It's a pleasure to be here today and to share with you some unpublished work on the importance of integrating timescales to preserve the maternal inheritance. So we will go back a little bit in time compared to what Jean-Léon has presented to us this morning. At the moment where we have been all originating, which is a fusion between the two gametes, an egg and a sperm. And so both gametes, they contribute to their progeny via their haploid genome, but the egg is interesting in a way, I think, because it also contributes with its large cytoplasm to its progeny. And actually, the journey into the formation of the female gamete is a very long one, which starts when the oocyte was in the ovary of the fetus inside the womb of the mother, and it will last for quite a long time, especially in human, because so we are born with a stockpile of oocytes, and these cells they will remain quiescent for quite a while until they will become reactivated at puberty. Some of them will ovulate until the last ovulation at menopause. So it's a very long process, and not all the steps of oogenesis happen at the same pace. So there is also a tempo here, like in oogenesis. So in the lab, we are really interested in this maternal inheritance, which constitutes the big cytoplasm of the oocyte. And in particular, we are interested in the end of oogenesis, so the end of oocyte growth. So it takes about 2 or 3 days, which takes place inside the ovary. And it's very important building this huge reserve of cytoplasm because transcription will cease at the end of oocyte growth. And so oocyte development, as well as early stages of pre-implantation development, will take place in the absence of transcription, but in the presence of all this maternal reserve that will support these two events. And then transcription will resume upon zygotic genome activation after fertilization. So this maternal inheritance made of protein, RNA, and organelles is very important for all these events. So today I would like to share with you the work of a very talented PhD student, Noemi Zolo, that I co-supervised together with Maria Almonassi, the researcher in the lab. And so Noemi was interested, as I said, in the end of oocyte growth, so the last stages of its growth. So she was isolating oocytes from pre-antral to antral follicles. And so we can distinguish three stages, so small oocyte, intermediary, and fully grown. And Noemi observed the presence of a local accumulation of RNA that she could detect with a specific probe, opposed to the oocyte nucleus, that was transient and was disappearing at later stages of growth. So Noemi's PhD tried to first address what is the composition of this local accumulation of RNA. And she very soon realized that not only does she have a local accumulation of RNA, but she also have a local accumulation of mitochondria, labeled here by immunofluorescence. This local accumulation of mitochondria cannot be observed before and after this specific stage. And so the fact that she had RNA, probably also RNPs, and mitochondria together in the same structure reminded us of a structure that is extremely well known in vertebrate oocytes, which is called the Balbiani body. It's a structure that is made of RNA and many organelles, and is present at primordial stages of growth, so much, much earlier than this structure that Noemi observed. And it has been, so it's a membraneless cluster of RNP and organelles, and it has been associated with dormancy, with the protection of the maternal RNA, messenger RNA pool and organelles. So Noemi tried to answer this question. What is this structure that is present much later during mouse oogenesis? And we named it the Zolo body according to Noemi's birth name. So she characterizes the Zolo body. So both by immunofluorescence and by electron microscopy. So as I said, it contains mitochondria, but actually it contains most of the organelles you can find in a cell. It contains the mini Golgi stack, contains endoplasmic reticulum, which at that stage resemble little snakes. And actually, the Zolo body is a donut. It has a hole in its center, and in the center of the Zolo body, you have a large microtubule organizing center from which emanate microtubules that we could detect by electron microscopy. And by the way, we did that in collaboration with Alexis Canet at IBBS, the electron microscopy. So the Balbiani body has been proposed to be organized thanks to the presence of an amyloid matrix. That is, it contains proteins that have prion-like domain that can make beta sheets and which form like a kind of a matrix that holds all the organelles together. The amyloid matrix in the Balbiani body can be detected thanks to the labeling with thioflavin T, which will stain amyloid protein rich in beta sheets. So this is, for example, the Xenopus Balbiani body positive for thioflavin T, and this is the zebrafish Balbiani body positive also for thioflavin T. Noemi could detect a positive labeling of the Zolo body with thioflavin T, suggesting that it probably contains proteins that display prion-like domains. We think that indeed this structure is a bit cohesive because Noemi was able to mechanically isolate it from oocyte by squeezing oocytes. And you see it here, labeled with mitochondria and RNA. And the structure remains stable for hours, also resembling the behavior of the Xenopus Balbiani body. So in collaboration with Gabriele Zaffanini and Elva Boeke from the CRG, Noemi isolated many Zolo bodies, and they performed mass spectrometry comparing protein from the isolated Zolo body to the whole oocyte at the same stage. And we could confidentially identify about 600 proteins present in the Zolo body over the rest of the protein of the cell. So if we make a gene ontology of this protein identified by mass spec, so what was reassuring is we detected proteins that are present in mitochondria, and this structure is really rich in mitochondria. But to our surprise, we also identified a lot of cytosolic protein associated with the ribosome, and I will go back to this later. Among the RNA-associated proteins that have prion-like domain that we identified by mass spectrometry, I'm highlighting these four ones. They are very interesting RNA-binding proteins because all have been involved in oogenesis by in different model systems using genetic means. And I would like to highlight these two, so two RNA helicases, which both have been also required for ovarian development. And they belong to a family of conserved helicases. They have rather pleiotropic function, but this one has been more associated with translation. We confirm the mass spec result using immunofluorescence. In particular, what I find interesting here is, so we had different level of enrichment of this protein, and for example, DDX5 was not super enriched. It was present, but not really enriched, actually, in the Zolo body, while DDX3X was more enriched in the Zolo body, and we confirmed that by quantifying the IF. We also confirmed the presence of a ribosomal subunit inside the Zolo body. So what are the properties of this structure? Recently, we have collaborated with Christopher Thomas, who has a group at IBDM. And so Christopher has developed a very original setup, which allows to follow the follicular growth in vitro and image the growth of these follicles. And so Christopher stained for mitochondria. So here you see the oocyte. You have the follicular cell here. And I guess you appreciate that this structure here really looks like a Zolo body, and that it will be progressively increasing in size. And you see all these little mitochondria will be progressively converging towards this structure. And progressively, you also see the antrum being formed. So Noemi, when she started all the work that she performed was actually began at the antrum stage. So this suggests that the dolo body forms a bit earlier than we had anticipated, and that it is a dynamic structure progressively growing in size. We believe that it's growing in size thanks to the presence of microtubules that are present inside the structure that you see here and that you see on this movie, and which are nucleated from this tiny microtubule organizing center in the middle of this donut. And indeed, we think microtubules are very important for Zolo body maintenance, because if we depolymerize microtubules using nocodazol, we lose the Zolo body, it dissolves. We think that actin is not involved in this process, because if we depolymerize actin filaments using cytokalasin D, the Zolo body is still present. And in the lab, we have a strain of mice that we have used extensively, which corresponds to a complete knockout of formin 2, which is an actin nucleator very important to organize actin filament inside the cytoplasm. And we still can observe the Zolo body at the Zolo body stage. So we think that, like the Balbiani body, the Zolo body also requires microtubules for its maintenance and not actin. And we actually think that microtubules are important for its growth, because if we depolymerize microtubules with nocodazol and then we wash out, so we remove the nocodazol and we let microtubules reform, then the Zolo body will progressively reform, as you can appreciate here. So microtubules are important for its assembly and for its maintenance, and somehow it will grow progressively at the secondary follicle stage to reach its optimal size in preantral follicles. We believe that, as I said earlier, you know, Noemi was able to mechanically isolate this structure, and we think there is an amyloid matrix present in it. That indeed, we have proof of the presence of an amyloid matrix, because when we express this helicase DDX3X GFP, so it accumulates inside the Zolo body here, this is the nucleus here, and if we frap either in the Zolo body, so if we bleach the fluorescence and look at the recovery after photobleaching, either in the Zolo body or in the cytoplasm, we see that the recovery curves are very different. So much slower in the Zolo body than in the cytoplasm, where actually the protein recovers fully. So arguing that there is a kind of matrix that makes this structure a bit cohesive, and it could be a kind of a hydrogel-like structure assembled maybe thanks to the presence of these helicases. What could the function of this structure be? So I told you there are RNAs, there are RNPs inside this structure. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to show you the results from the RNA-seq that we performed, both on purified Zolo body, but also comparing oocytes at different stages, and which tend to suggest that there is a function associated to translation, which is consistent with the fact that we detected a ribosome in the mass spec data, but actually also in immunofluorescence and in electron microscopy. We think that this structure is associated with local translation. So first, it is positive for phospho-mTOR, so active mTOR, which we know is important for growth and increased metabolism. Another argument to suggest that there is a translation in this structure is if we perform clicking chemistry using fluorescent analog of pyromycine, we can detect nascent transcript accumulating inside this structure, and this labeling can be chased by adding cold non-fluorescent spiromycin. And this is quantified here. So two arguments that suggest there is active translation. But another argument that suggests that this structure is associated with active translation is the following. So if we measure the diameter between oocytes at the Zolo body stage compared to later stages, we see a massive increase in size, very significant increase in size, and then the size tends to plateau. Now, if we take, if we measure the dry mass of oocytes at these three stages using phase optic imaging, and we know that the dry mass of a cell is mostly due to the presence of protein, We can observe a significant increase in dry mass between these two stages, such that if we plot the density which corresponds to the dry mass over the volume, the density of oocytes as they grow remains relatively constant. At least it's not dropping. And we think that this is actually important. So we discussed a lot about tempos of development. And Noemi made a literature search, a bibliography search, of the volume, the oocyte volume as a function of the different stages of follicular genesis. And when she plots it, you can appreciate that there is a very rapid increase, so boost in the growth at the end of oogenesis, so the stages we are looking at. And we think that this boost in growth is accompanied by an increase in the amount of protein, which allows the cell to maintain a correct density, or at least not to harbor a decrease in its density. And we know that maintaining density is very important because it has been shown both in yeast and in cells in culture that if you artificially decrease density of cells, then they will tend to enter senescence. So we think that this prevents oocytes from entering senescence, which is a good thing. And so more recently, we tested inhibitor of the helicase I mentioned earlier. And to our surprise, so one, the inhibitor, the specific inhibitor of DDX3X didn't have much effect. But supinoxine, which is an inhibitor of DDX5, had a very important impact and induced zolobody dissolution on isolated oocytes. But also, and in this is experiment done by Christopher, and also it induced the dissolution of the zolobody inside follicles, and I think you can appreciate it here. And the consequence of this zolobody dissolution is that the follicle growth is impaired upon supinoxine treatment, and the oocytes tend to slow down their growth. So arguing that probably the zolobody is very important for oocyte growth and follicle growth more generally. Yep. So if we compare the zolobody to the Balbiani body, what is interesting is it's extremely similar structure. They are assembled thanks to the presence of a microtubule. They require an amyloid matrix to remain cohesive. They contain most organelle in common, so mitochondria, ER, Golgi, and they contain RNPs for sure, and they are opposed to the nucleus, so both structures are opposed to the nucleus, but they appear at completely different stages of oogenesis, so the Balbiani body appearing in being present in very early oocytes, so primordial oocytes, and have been associated with dormancy, with like resting states and low metabolism, while we would like to propose that the zolobody appears much later, at a time when you need to boost the growth of the oocyte and is more associated with an increase in translation and an active metabolism. Boosting translation, at a stage where transcription will decrease could be a good strategy to promote the preservation of the maternal stores, in particular proteins present in the oocyte that will sustain the development of the oocyte and then the embryo. And our collaborator Elsa Labrune, who works at the HCL in Lyon, she was able to actually detect in human oocytes that are not fully grown, a local accumulation of mitochondria that seems to disappear later on at later stages. So arguing that maybe this structure has been also conserved through the evolutionary timescale. And with this, I will finish and thank all the people who did the work. I already acknowledge them and all our collaborators.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.